KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's 20 degrees. Good morning. I'm Marissa Hovde, KJAN News. Police say they have uncovered an elaborate marijuana growing operation in central Iowa. Television station KCCI reports police this week confiscated approximately 150 marijuana plants from a house in Des Moines. Five people have been arrested and face charges. Firefighters have been struggling with a stubborn fire in a large pile of wood chips at the Dubuque landfill. Officials say the wood chips began smoldering earlier this week and that the fire likely was started by heat buildup within the pile. The pile is about a quarter mile from other parts of the landfill, with a creek in between. A 24-year-old man has been given 10 years in prison on charges stemming from a drive-by shooting in Sioux City. Patrick Kraft of Sioux City was sentenced on Thursday. He'd pleaded guilty last month to intimidation with a dangerous weapon and possession of a firearm by a domestic abuser. No injuries were reported from the drive-by shooting. Plenty of Iowans are coughing, sneezing, and blowing their noses as we're approaching the heart of cold and flu season. How many of them are going to work while they're sick? Far too many, according to a new study. Dr. Mark Rupp, an infectious disease specialist at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, says some people will call in sick at the drop of a hat, but many others should stay home when they're sick, yet they go in anyway. This is a pretty common practice, and actually a phrase has been termed to cover it. Dr. Rupp says it's called presenteeism. So rather than abusing your sick time, you're actually abusing time where you come into work, where you probably should be staying at home. The survey of Iowans and Nebraskans finds 4 out of 5 people questioned say they've gone to work sick. You're not doing anyone any favors, Rupp says, if you're taking your bug to work and exposing the whole office. Folks who are coughing and sneezing and hacking and running fevers really should be staying at home, and anybody who has a vomiting or diarrheal illness likewise should stay at home until they're feeling better and they're back to good health, Rupp says. When they come to work, clearly they can be spreading these bugs to their coworkers, and that's not a nice thing to do. If you really must go to work, it's best to isolate yourself as much as possible from others. Use hand sanitizer and cover your mouth with your sleeve when coughing or sneezing. The survey showed nearly half of those who go to work sick take no precautions to avoid direct contact with others. Doctors in central Iowa are celebrating the completion of 5 kidney transplants in 3 days thanks to a group of strangers. The transplants were done this week at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. The doctors spoke about the patients and donors at a press conference Friday. Doctors say none of the recipients knew their donor. The chain of transplants was possible after some donors learned they were not a match to their friend or family member. Officials say they decided to donate to strangers. A man wanted on a Nottoway County, Missouri warrant was arrested on Thursday in Montgomery County. According to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, 25-year-old Jesse Bruce Fitzwater of Villisca was arrested for possession of methamphetamine, third offense, driving while barred, and a valid Nottoway County warrant. Fitzwater was transported to the Montgomery County Jail, where he was booked and held on full bond. Early this morning, deputies of the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office arrested 42-year-old Jeffrey Malling Brockman of Elliott for obstruction of emergency communications. Brockman was transported to the Montgomery County Jail, where he was booked and held on $300 cash bond. An interim legislative committee recommended the legislature appropriate up to $20 million to help struggling counties continue mental health services this year. Iowa City Senator Joe Balcom, a Democrat, proposed the $20 million figure at a Friday meeting. It's far more than the $3.8 million recommended by the Department of Human Services. The committee is overseeing implementation of Iowa's revamped mental health system, which replaces a county-by-county process with a regional approach. Panel members didn't specify how the $20 million would be funded. As the state shifts to the new program, 32 counties have sought money to finance the transition. Balcom says he will make the recommendation to the Health and Human Services Appropriations Committee early in the session so counties can get their funding quickly. The session begins Monday. A report issued late Friday shows the state government's payroll has shrunk since Terry Branstad became governor. Branstad took office in January of 2011, and the Legislative Services Agency analysis covers the first 18 months of his governorship. The report shows state payroll expenses were down nearly 5% compared to when Chet Culver left the governor's office. More than 900 employees left state government during Branstad's first 18 months in office. Some were replaced, some were temporary or part-time employees. At the start of August, the total number of full-time positions in state executive branch agencies had shrunk by 641. The average salary for a state worker who is not a supervisor is $51,700. The payroll and staffing at the three state universities in Ames, Cedar Falls, and Iowa City are not included in this analysis. Birdwatching enthusiasts around Iowa are looking to the skies this weekend for a glimpse of thousands of bald eagles making their way across the state. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources says wildlife workers and volunteers are tallying reports of bald eagle sightings around the state as part of the National Midwinter Bald Eagle Survey. The annual event is coordinated by the Army Corps of Engineers. Surveyors had most of early January to complete their reports, though target dates are scheduled for Saturday and Sunday. An Iowa DNR spokeswoman says migration patterns show the eagles are being spotted in other places besides stronghold spots along the Mississippi River. That includes more appearances along the Des Moines River. More than 3,000 eagles were counted in the state last year. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has released its final crop report for 2012, showing heavy losses due to the drought still gripping much of the nation. The year-end report shows farmers got less than 3/4 of the corn the agency initially expected when planting was done in the spring. The report released Friday shows a harvest of 10.78 billion bushels of corn, 27% less than the 14.8 billion bushels anticipated before drought set in. The number in the final report is slightly more than the agency's December estimate of 10.72 billion bushels and still marks one of the largest corn harvests in U.S. history. Farmers say better crop technology saved them from more devastating losses, and production was helped by the large number of acres planted this year. A top Iowa health official calls this the worst flu season the state has seen in many years. State epidemiologist Patricia Quinlisk noted Friday that influenza will likely keep going around until April. She says vaccines are still available, but people may have to call more than one location to find them. Complete statewide figures on the number of flu cases are not available. The state gets data from 21 of Iowa's 118 hospitals. At those hospitals, there were 141 hospitalizations due to influenza in the first week of January. Quinlisk says there were never more than 20 hospitalizations during that same week in the past few years. In our funeral announcements this morning, Don Merle Wetzel, 82, of Guthrie Center, died Monday, January 8th, in Guthrie Center. Services for Don Merle Wetzel will be held 10:30 a.m. today, Saturday, January 12th, at Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center. Doris Carl, 85, of Bridgewater, died Wednesday, January 9th, at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Doris Carl will be held 1:30 p.m. today, Saturday, January 12th, at the Trinity Christian Church in Bridgewater. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Harold L. Mobley, 89, of Panora, died Wednesday, January 9th, at the Panora Nursing and Rehab Center. Services for Harold Mobley will be held 10:30 a.m. Monday, January 14th, at Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Arthur Vern Davidson, 78, of Atlantic, died Thursday, January 10th, at the Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Vern Davidson will be held 11 a.m. Monday, January 14th, at the First Lutheran Church, south of Wyota. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Ethel Huckendorf, 96, of Greenfield, died Wednesday, January 9th, at the North Crest Living Center in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Ethel Huckendorf will be held 11 a.m. Monday, January 14th, at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Paul Volstead, 76, of Manning, died Friday, January 11th, at the Manning Regional Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Paul Volstead will be held 11 a.m. Monday, January 14th, at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Betty Prawl, 95, of Atlantic, died Monday, January 7th, at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Visitation for Betty Prawl will be held 1 p.m. Monday, January 14th, at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Hazel Fox, 96, of Guthrie Center and formerly of Adair, died Thursday, January 10th, at New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Hazel Fox will be held 1 p.m. Tuesday, January 15th, at the Adair Presbyterian Church. Hockenberry Family Care in Adair has the arrangements. Lorraine Larson, 94, of Audubon, died Thursday, January 10th, at the Friendship Home in Audubon. A Celebration of Life memorial service for Lorraine Larson will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. I'm Marissa Hovde with KJAN News.